Well, good afternoon, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite you to call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues that you face in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and again, welcome. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. It's in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Have a lot of favorite verses, actually, in the book of Colossians.
There's a lot to choose from.
If I had one book to teach, I think this would be the book I would teach. It really talks about the preeminence of Christ Jesus. It really spells out the fullness of the gospel, the fact that he reconciled us through the death of Christ Jesus, that God did that through Christ, and that he saves us by his life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He gives some very practical help and I think handles on how to live that out in day-to-day life as it relates to marriage, as it relates to parenting, many other issues that we face in day-to-day life. So this is one of my favorite books, and I think, as I said, if there was one book that I would teach, this would be the book that I would want to proclaim and just time and time again. But here in the very first chapter, starting in verse 6, Paul is talking about this gospel that the Colossians have heard. And he says, all over this world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. So what does the gospel of grace do? It bears fruit and it grows. That's what it does. There's no way to stop that. There's no way to change that. That's kind of programmed in the DNA. You plant a seed in the ground, it's going to grow. Why? That's how God made it. Well, that's what this grace is all about. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to grow. And it's been doing that all over the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. So God's grace, God's truth go hand in glove. You don't separate the two of those. It is the truth about God's grace that changes us, that transforms us. It's the truth about God's grace that really is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does his death for us mean? What does his burial mean? What does his resurrection mean to each and every one of us? And as we understand the truth of that grace, we're going to start to see the grace of God growing and bearing fruit in our lives. That's just the nature of the grace of God. So I ask a question to you today, our listeners. Are you seeing the evidence of God's grace in your life? If you're not, it may be because you have substituted rules, regulations, rituals, obedience, those sort of things for the grace of God, for God's simple plan of by grace through faith. As I've said time and time again on the broadcast, God's simple plan is this: by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Sometimes we put that on the back burner and we substitute for it. If we substitute with anything, we are not going to see the fruit of God's grace in our lives. So if you're not seeing it, perhaps it's because you are relying on your own human effort. You are relying on a religious system. You are relying on something other than Jesus. Well, today, if that's the case, will you start relying on Jesus? Will you see the grace of God in all of its truth and allow the grace of God to do in you what it was programmed to do, so to speak? Yeah. And that's to bear fruit and to grow within your life.
If you'd like to discuss this or some other issue, we invite your calls right now to 844-322-2742. The lines are pretty much wide open right now, and a great time for you to call and get an answer to your question or discuss your particular issue on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to Chris listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your opinion on what you think about to what extent a Christian needs to believe in the divinity of Jesus in order to be saved. So 12 years ago, I came to the realization that Jesus died for my sins, and I received that. And my understanding is that's enough because you're believing in Jesus. But then you have Romans 10:9, which says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I wanted to know, is it enough to believe that Jesus died for your sins as part of that statement? And what is really involved in confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord?
Well, it's a good question, Chris. And I think we want to try to reduce salvation to a formula, you know, a three-step formula, a four-step formula, some process that we work through. And we have to realize that it is God's grace that initiates the process and brings us to that point where we can say that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. For example, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he talked about Jesus. He talked about his death, and he pointed to the people there, and he said, this Jesus whom you've crucified and was buried, and on the third day he was raised back to life. It is through faith in him that you can be saved. And so they asked, what must we do? And he said, repent and believe and receive the gift of God's Spirit. So they did. So did they have an understanding, a depth of knowledge that Jesus was God in human flesh? Did they know that he was really the Lord of all creation, that Jesus was with God, pre-existent, you know, with God at the beginning, and that he was God, and that he spoke the world into existence? I don't think they knew all of that, but they did hear his story. They heard the good news that Jesus died, and Peter made reference that this Jesus is both Lord and God, and 3,000 responded to that and were added to the church that day. So when I was a kid, you know, I heard about the death of Christ and saw just a vivid portrayal of the crucifixion, and it pierced my heart so deeply, and it just made me say, I need Jesus. And I didn't have all the information, but I responded and believed that I was saved at that moment in time. It was much later that I learned about the deity of Christ. But I knew enough to realize that Jesus was something different than me.
Yeah.
That he wasn't like me, and that he could do something for me that I couldn't do for myself, and I was willing to submit to that. And I think in that process of submitting to Jesus, of trusting Jesus, you're saying that I believe something special about this person. Can I articulate it exactly at that moment in time? Probably not. But God's Spirit brings us to that point where we can truly articulate what we know about Jesus. And so we trust. So it's God's grace that initiates to us. We respond to it. So Chris, when you accepted the Lord and you believed that he died for you, you believed that his death was worth something, that his blood was worth something, that it was adequate to forgive your sins. Well, in believing that, you're saying something special about Jesus, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. I really like your answer. I mean, you would really just explain, like, just why your show is called Basic Gospel, because you're, like, really making it basic, and that's awesome. Like, for me, 12 years ago, when I first realized that I needed Jesus, so that was my understanding of when I was saved. And it wasn't until several years later until I came to the understanding that he was also God. And so when I come to this decision of realizing that I need Jesus in order to be saved, I guess that can be looked at as an acknowledgement that he's Lord, maybe not in the fullest sense of saying Jesus is God, but I think that it's still kind of like reliance, it's dependence, and that's probably what he's looking for.
That's exactly what he's looking for, is that as I said, it's the by grace through faith. So at that moment, you responded to the grace of God. You, at that moment, knew you had a need. God loved you enough to explain to you what your need was. You responded to that in faith, realizing that Jesus was the solution. All the detail of that you didn't know back then, but you engaged in the by grace through faith in Christ process there. And that's all God was looking for. That's all God was asking for. And then the Holy Spirit starts to teach. I do think, as far as a communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as somebody that's a pastor, somebody that is trying to tell somebody else about Jesus, I think within the present presentation alone, just as Peter did, he said that this Jesus whom you've crucified is both Lord and God. He made that truth known. So I think it's important that we make that truth known, that somebody can know. Maybe they don't hear it all and aren't able to articulate that exactly the moment they're saved, but they're recognizing that they are trusting somebody greater than themselves.
Yeah, wow, that's a really basic gospel answer for a really basic gospel question. So I thank you very much for your time and for your ministry, and have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chris. Yeah, thanks for your call. We appreciate that.
Chris is listening on our great Washington area affiliate, WAVA, and of course, that Washington metro area is nearing 6 million in population, so we know that there are a lot of listeners in the Washington area, as there are in New York and Louisville and so forth across the country, that are listening to this broadcast. So we encourage you, friends, if you have something that's been kind of bugging you, or a question you can't quite answer, a particular situation that you're looking at that is troublesome in your life, we encourage your call. That's why we're here live every day. We want to hear from you, and that number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
And certainly, as you were talking about the 6 million in the Washington, D.C. area, the 10 million in the New York area, and, you know, I don't know how many million in the San Francisco and Denver and Dallas and all the places that we are, we encourage our listeners to spread the word.
Sure.
You know people who are struggling, who are confused, who are puzzled about the Christian life. Maybe they're not sure about forgiveness. They're not sure about the basics. We just received this incredible email the other day from a lady in New York and said, I'm so thankful that I ran across your program, because, you know, I've been a Christian for so long, and I feel like I should have known some answers, but I was too embarrassed to ask.
Yeah.
And just listening to the broadcast, I'm getting all of those answers cleared up, and all the confusion is starting to go away. Well, I guarantee you know people just like that. Help spread the word. Tell a friend about the Basic Gospel broadcast. Tell them where to tune in. Tell them the time. If they want to know more, send them to our website at basicgospel.net. Encourage them to download our mobile app so that they can have us with them wherever they find a convenient time, or whenever they find a convenient time to tune in. But just spread the word. I mean, this is good news. As a guy I met 35 years ago said, when he heard the message, he wanted to shout it from the rooftops.
Right, yeah.
This is a message worth shouting from the rooftops. Well, shout it, my friends. Tell others about the good news. Encourage them to tune in. We would love to be a part of their lives. We would love for them to be a part of ours. And let's take this journey together in exploring those things that are of most importance to God. And if they're of most importance to Him, they're of most importance to us.
And for those of you who give to support this broadcast, thank you for doing so.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Russell in North Richland Hills. Hi, Russell.
Hello. God bless. God bless.
Thank you.
Quick question. I've been in church all my life. My father's a minister, and for the longest part of my life, I just kind of, you know, lived my Christian life and you know, filled the pew, but I gave it no thought. But now I'm in my 30s, I feel a real strong draw to continue the ministry. And it's a huge thought for me, but it's just like everything's starting to point that direction, at least it seems to be. But then something that troubles me is that, you know, folks get in this religious cycle to where they, you know, just kind of go through the motions. And I just wanted to know, how do you know you're in God's will with what you're doing or the direction you're going? Because I wouldn't mind taking on such a huge honor, but I at the same time, I want to make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do and not just something that I would be wanting to do.
That's a great question.
Yes, it is. And Richard, you and I have talked about this a little bit as far as, you know, a call into ministry and that sort of thing. And we look at it as something that we're going to do in the future, that we have this call, we're going to go get equipped and prepared, and then we're going to start a ministry. And I think the call comes as you're already ministering.
Yes.
And I think that's what you sensed in your life. And
yeah.
I know that's what I sensed in my life. So you know, God kind of puts into you a desire to share the good news of Jesus with others. And you just start sharing wherever you are. If you're involved in a church, maybe you start teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe you start working with the youth in the church. It's just something that you know is inside of you. So you start sharing and looking for opportunities to present Jesus. And as you do, I think you sense, hey, this is what I really want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I know in my own life, this gentleman that I was talking about who said, I want to shout it from the rooftops. It's a gentleman I led to Christ in a hospital bed. He was an elderly gentleman, and I had been involved in youth work, and I saw some young kids come to Christ, and I saw some neat things happening in youth ministry, and saw some other people come to know the Lord. And then when I met this gentleman, and just saw the incredible transformation, you know, the guy going from death spiritually to life, to spiritual life. It was just such an incredible transformation. Man, my life changed that day. I knew I wanted to be a part of God's rescue mission that was going on through Jesus Christ. I wanted to be a part of that in some way, some form, some shape. And so I said, Lord, I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I'm available. And, you know, I continued to minister. I took a job, got transferred out to Dallas. God opened some doors. And so I've been involved in ministry for 30 plus years on a full-time capacity. So I think you start, Russell, where you are. And if you have opportunities to start ministering today, take that step.
One last quick question, if I could. So I've been doing I'm over the whole, song part of it, like that part of the ministry. And then most recently, I've even stepped into the role of, you know, leading some of the Sunday school, but it's coming up quick. There's a time coming. I can see it. And it's going to be pulpit time, and I just don't want to do anything I shouldn't do, and I want to do anything that I'm not supposed to do. I mean, I believe in myself, but I just want to make sure that's what God wants me to do. It's definitely the need there.
Russell, let me offer you something that may remove some of the fear. This isn't a question about, am I in God's will? Because as soon as I ask that question, then I have the fear that I'm not in God's will and I've done something wrong. If you are a child of the living God, if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are in God's will. And His will for you is to know Jesus more and more and more. And how that expresses itself is purely the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. So if an opportunity comes up to actually teach from the pulpit, if that's what God has you wired for, He will give you the words. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you'll do your studying and make sure you understand the text you're going to use. But it's the Spirit's job to preach. It's the Spirit's job to help you teach a Sunday school. It's the Spirit's job to help you with music. It's not a question of, oh, man, did I get it wrong? It's how can I express your love to other people, Lord?
Let me do this, Russell. Can I put you on hold? And
can I ask you to give us some
information? And we would like to carry on this conversation in a much deeper way with you and see if we can be of help. So you hold on, Russell. We'll get some information from you, and we'll look forward to carrying on this conversation.
It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Plenty of calls on the board, so I guess, guys, just let's keep it going.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Paige. Hi, Paige.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. How about you today?
I'm doing great. I've got a strange one for you, and I'd venture to say you might not have heard this one before. But you were saying I've kind of debated on calling or not to even bring this up, because I don't want to make other people doubt or anything in any way, shape, or form. But, okay, I'll just get to it. When Jesus was at the Passover before he dies, he says that he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until he's in the kingdom with them again. So, and I can't remember what gospel this is. I know it's in one of them, that they offer him the hyssop and vinegar, and he refuses to drink it. But one of them, he actually does take a sip of it. So the only reason I called is because you said something that has been bugging me or something. That's been since, I don't know, 20 years now. It's always been in the back of my head. But I thought it was strange that vinegar is part of the fruit of the vine, because it's wine that's gone, you know, sour. So he takes a drink of it on one of the Gospels, and I always thought that was strange how he says he won't drink of the fruit of the vine until he's in the kingdom, yet he does take a sip. Now, one of the Gospels also says that he denies the sip, but one of them says he does take a sip of it. So I always thought that was strange that I know he doesn't lie, but I thought that was really odd that he would, or that one of the Gospels would say that he drank the vinegar. Does that make sense?
Well, Paige, you're right. I've never heard that question asked before.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. You get the prize today for stumping the panel, so to speak. So my mind hasn't tried to put those two together, and so I think I would do a disservice to you if I tried to answer something. So let me do this, Paige. Let me get some information from you, and then let's explore this together and see what we can come up with, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, you that hang on, great. Okay, my friend. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's quickly go to Edwin in Columbia, Maryland, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Edwin.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. We just have about a minute.
Okay, I just
speak fast.
I wanted to ask a quick question. In terms of, you know, today, you know, the modern church and what we see in terms of the prosperity movement, the gospel that, in my opinion, is actually polluting the grace of God. I see a lot of these prosperity preachers, so-called, particularly in...
Well, let me just give what Timothy had to say on this. First Timothy 6, he talks about he has an unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Whenever we think that godliness is a means to financial gain, it says we've been robbed of the truth, that we have become men of corrupt mind. And I think that prosperity gospel is something that is corrupting our minds and drawing us away from the simplicity of devotion to Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we receive him, and boy, in him we've got everything we need. Well, we're out of time, Edwin. Thanks for your call. Hope that helps.
Yes, and thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.